Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Mark Levine, reporting live from Alexandria, Virginia, while the Center for American Progress is fixing its radio studio to be even nicer. We'll probably hear from the new studio next week. So that's why my sound may be a little muffled today, but hopefully you can hear me just fine and call in at 888-488-6275, 888-488-MARK when you want to call in. I want to talk today about what I think may be the oldest political institution on the planet. I'm talking about the Catholic Church. And I call it a political institution because while there are certainly older religions than the Catholic Church, the hierarchy of the Vatican has been in place for two millennia. Legend has it that Jesus himself chose the first, maybe I shouldn't say legend because many people believe this, so it may well be historically true. In any case, the story goes that Jesus himself chose the very first pope to run the Catholic Church, and certainly for at least 1,700 years, they've run it pretty much the same way. The pope appoints cardinals. The cardinals, when the pope is gone, appoint a new pope. Generally, that's after the pope's death, though, as we've seen with Pope Benedict recently, it can also be after a pope's resignation. If you go back 700, 800 years, there were fierce battles sometimes between rival popes, sometimes called antipopes, and all kinds of heresies and excommunications back and forth. But we have not seen a kind of schism in the Catholic Church really since, well, Henry VIII decided to build his own Protestant movement because he wanted to divorce his wife, Catherine of Aragon. But basically, the Catholic Church has stayed pretty much under the same system for many, many centuries. Again, the Pope appoints cardinals. He also appoints bishops and archbishops, cardinals, and so forth. And then the cardinals appoint the Pope. Well, some conservatives in the Catholic Church are actually talking about something that I think itself may be heresy, but I certainly welcome Catholics to call in and let me know. They're saying, in effect, that the Pope is too liberal for the Church. Now, that's an extreme comment to be made by cardinals. After all, the idea that the Pope is in charge is one of the few things that you would think that Catholics could agree on. They may not always agree with the Pope. In fact, many times, liberal Catholics in the United States strongly disagreed with conservative Catholic popes on issues on everything from abortion to contraception to divorce to the rights of same-sex couples. But now that the Pope is at least suggesting that some of these alternative views, modern views, you might say, on contraception and abortion and same-sex couples and gay people, suggesting that we can at least talk about those things, or the Catholic Church can, some conservatives are fighting back. And in fact, there is a Wisconsin cardinal who said something truly extreme recently, and it's Wisconsin-born cardinal, not quite sure where he is. I think he may, at this point, live near Vatican City. But his name is Raymond Burke, and reported in today's Washington Post that he was sitting just outside the gates of Vatican City, dressed in his black robes and scarlet sash on an upholstered warm armchair, and he said, and this is really an extraordinary statement by this staunch conservative Vatican bureaucrat, very strong for a cardinal to say. He said, quote, "One must be very attentive regarding the power of the Pope. Papal power," the cardinal warned, "is not absolute. The Pope does not have the power to change teaching or doctrine." Now, wait just a second. He doesn't? Isn't that what the Pope is supposed to do? Isn't that what people have complained about, that it's not a democratic institution? And yet the conservatives, the very ones who would, I guess, oppose democracy within the church, are opposing a very democratic pope. Fascinating for me that, and of course I'm not a Catholic, and I look upon this as an observer and as someone who very much cares about any institution, particularly one as powerful and as influential as the Catholic Church, but really I care about any institution joining the modern world and focusing on people and how to make things, lives better for people, rather than focusing on some old doctrine. But it's fascinating to me, because those of us who understand a little bit about Catholicism, again, I don't claim to be an expert, know that the Pope, when speaking in a certain way, actually says that he's receiving directly the Word of God and therefore is infallible. In fact, the doctrine of infallibility remains. In fact, this conservative cardinal, since he likes old doctrine, would presumably not disagree with the fact that the Pope can be infallible. Infallible, meaning unerring, not wrong, that he can say something, in essence, that's perfect and unchanging. And yet this cardinal is very much disputing this Pope. And what he's disputing is that Pope Francis is saying some things that might sound very ordinary to you and me, but are extraordinary in the history of the Catholic Church. Perhaps one of the most extraordinary things he said during the opening of a meeting of senior bishops last year, Pope Francis said to those gathered, quote, "Let no one say this you cannot say," unquote. Wow! Free speech within the Catholic Church, allowing ideas to be debated freely and actually suggesting, questioning. That's something that you don't often see in the Catholic Church, literally approving of questioning. It's a shockingly, to me, wonderful thing that Pope Francis is doing. And again, I'm not one for praising popes, but I truly think this pope is leading us to an extraordinary time. Those of you who know recent church history would remember the last pope like this was Pope John the 23rd, who in the 1960s did Vatican II. Vatican II did some extraordinary things for its time. It took the Latin Mass and made it into a Mass understood by the various languages people speak. Extremely controversial, the idea that Mass would be said in English rather than in Latin, that you wouldn't have to eat fish on Fridays, as Catholics used to always eat for I don't know how many centuries. But even more so, John the 23rd changed how Catholics look at other religions. There was an implicit understanding that Catholics should hate Jews. There was anti-Semitism implicit in church doctrine for millennia. Indeed, it was often used to justify mass murder of Jews. But John the 23rd said that anti-Semitism was wrong. He was the first pope to recognize that the Catholic Church had basically made some crucial errors during the Holocaust and seeking forgiveness for that. Again, an extraordinary thing, considered extremely radical in that day, probably not considered so radical today. Today, the radical things that this pope is saying deal with things like abortion or, yes, homosexuality. He says, for example, that Catholic bishops and priests should be able to talk about communion for those living in adultery, for those who haven't had a Catholic divorce, actually making annulments easier, and to give communion to those who are divorced and remarried is extremely antithetical to what the conservatives in the Catholic Church want. In fact, Burke and other conservatives issued what they called a manifesto against giving communion to divorced and remarried Catholics. The Pope himself has talked about allowing priests to forgive women who have had an abortion. That's pretty extreme, again, by conservative standards. Liberals, of course, have no problem with allowing a woman to have an abortion, or at least recognize that it's her choice. Well, to forgive a woman who's had an abortion would be an extraordinary move for the Catholic Church. He's also talked about poverty in ways that few popes have in recent years, and about helping refugees escape Syria, escape war-torn areas. In fact, he suggested that every Catholic parish in Europe should offer shelter to at least one refugee family from the thousands escaping poverty and oppression. Again, if you believe that Catholic doctrine is all about looking out for the poor, looking out for those in need, this won't seem that extraordinary to you. For conservatives, it's seen as incredibly extraordinary. Other liberals in the Catholic Church, other bishops, have gone even farther, and the Pope has not told them to stop. One bishop in Belgium has called on the Catholic Church to formally recognize same-sex couples. The Pope is also strongly changing the Bank of the Vatican, notoriously corrupt, overhauling their finances, getting rid of all the top leadership, getting rid of even the financial watchdog agency because of all that corruption. And indeed, many think that the leaks against the Pope are largely due not to all of these political things, from abortion to allowing communion to divorced and remarried people, but because they don't like the fact that he's looking into the Vatican's finances. In fact, it's now believed, according to the Washington Post's front page story today, that the leak that the Pope cared about global warming and issued an encyclical about it, they think it was done because people could no longer get corrupt money from the bank and indeed sold it for a profit rather than for vengeance. And on that question of climate change, pretty extraordinary that he's focusing on it, although one conservative bishop, a conservative cardinal, I should say, Australian Cardinal George Pell, said when the Pope mentioned that he cared about climate change, quote, "The church has got no mandate from the Lord to pronounce on scientific matters," unquote. Really? The same church that excommunicated Galileo and Copernicus, that insisted that the sun went around the earth and has only very recently backtracked from those excommunications, this church has no power to give an opinion on scientific matters, particularly something as serious as climate change, even when their science is right this time? Conservatives truly are up in arms, and they're saying that the Catholic Church has confusion now. Confusion because the Pope is clearly going against or changing or modifying, or one could say putting in an evolutionary form, evolving the church from where it was in the past. But the moral confusion, I say, is from the conservatives, who don't seem to respect the Pope's absolute power within the Catholic Church. Debates are open. There's language about new stances for gay Catholics, new stances for divorced Catholics, and this is going to lead to a showdown from the conservatives. And at the end of the day, it'll be interesting to see whether or not the Pope maintains his power. John the 23rd largely couldn't finish his agenda. He only lived 3 years. He did a lot of stuff in Vatican II, and then he died. And some are suggesting, well, one liberal points out, I think in jest, but I'm not quite sure, the liberal British priest, Reverend Timothy Radcliffe, said, at least we aren't poisoning each other's chalices anymore. But he said he was afraid of some of what he was seeing. And obviously there has been intrigue in the past, even we have to go back centuries. So what is the future of the Catholic Church? What are we to think of conservatives who are, in effect, disobeying the Pope? And will the Pope be around long enough, and he's not that old guy, will be around long enough to remake the Church in his image? All cardinals are appointed by the Pope. And in time, if he stays there long enough, he can appoint enough cardinals to truly remake the Catholic Church as the conservatives, well, at some point, get over the voting age when they can choose a new pope. We may be seeing a brand new Catholic Church. Could it lead to a schism? What do you think? If you're a Catholic, you get first priority, though I'm certainly not one, and anyone is welcome to call in. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back, right after this. The Pope the Catholic Church? Can he go too far? Can he go too far beyond Catholic doctrine? Is the hierarchy to be respected? And what are we to think about liberals who support the Pope, and conservatives, I should say, who have a backlash against him? Toll-free number, 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Let's go to Terrell in Ohio on line two. Hey, Terrell, how are you?
How's it going, Mark? I personally think that it's a good thing that they're trying to modernize the church, given all the scandals that have happened before the actual point of him taking power. And another thing is, these people who are speaking out, they are speaking out for the political power that those issues gain them in their respective areas. I mean, this is a political, more of a political thing than anything else.
Well, I mean, obviously it is a political thing, and it does affect their power. These are the people in charge. These are the people in charge of the Vatican Bank. These are the people who've been the same for a very long time. They, frankly, were very happy with Benedict, the guy before. Let me ask you this, Terrell. Your sound's a little off. I'm told you're in the car. Is that right?
Yeah.
You coming home soon? I just want your sound.
Maybe never.
Maybe never. I'll tell you what, if you're on speakerphone, get off the speakerphone, because I do want to hear what you have to say.
No, I mean, I don't. It's a headset. I can't.
Oh, get off the headset. Just get on your regular phone. That'll be fine. The headset.
I'm driving a semi.
Okay. Now, I want to hear what you have to say, but it's just a little distorted. If you can get off the headset and call back, I'd appreciate it.
All right, man. Have a nice one.
Okay. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. I did want to hear what Terrell had to say, but I know that that the sound was pretty bad for all of you folks. So here's the question. I mean, Terrell supports, as do I, the Pope. I didn't get a chance to ask Terrell if he's Catholic or not. But I'm curious to know whether the Pope could go too far. And it's interesting to note that the things that they think he's gone far on tend to be what I would think are pretty obvious things in Catholic doctrine. Looking out for the poor, for example. Which is more important for Catholic doctrine? Looking out for the poor or attacking women that have had abortions, for example? You will find that Jesus in the New Testament talks on and on and on about the poor. Indeed, the entire Bible is infused with concern for those that are suffering, those that are having hard economic times. But abortion, well, you can't really find that, not clearly in the Bible anywhere. So maybe the Pope really is going back to Catholic doctrine, and the conservatives are complaining. Well, maybe they're wrong. Let's go to Dave in Humboldt County on line three. Hey, Dave, how are you?
I hope this phone is working all right today. Is it?
Your phone is much better than Terrell's, although I'm going to have to go on a break in about 30 seconds, so make a quick point, and then I'll get back to you after the break.
Okay, well, I had been in a Catholic seminary when Pius XII died and Pope John became John the 23rd. And I wanted to share a little bit of my story on that. But if you
fantastic. Okay. No, that's great, Dave, and I want to hear from that after the break, because to me this is as radical, and of course I wasn't around when Pope John the 23rd was the Pope, but to me I certainly know of him from history, and it strikes me that what Pope Francis is doing seems to be as radical, perhaps, as Vatican II. So it'll be interesting to hear how that was accepted in those times. So stay on with me, Dave. Folks, if you want to join in this conversation, the toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Back after this. Radical change in the Catholic Church in modern times since Vatican II, since John the 23rd in the 1960s, radically changed the Catholic Church. He was considered very liberal, and of course he was in those days. He was only Pope for 3 years. People have often wondered how much more would have been accomplished if he'd lived longer. But of course he died, and then came Paul VI was a much more conservative Catholic Pope. And then John Paul was based on that John and that Paul and John Paul II. And now Benedict was certainly as conservative as could be, but Francis truly seems to be changing the church in all kinds of ways. He's the first from the New World, actually the first from outside Europe in, 500 years. What's fascinating to me is the backlash. So Dave from Humboldt County, longtime listener, is telling me that he had some experience back during the first radical change of at least of the last half century during Vatican II. Dave, tell us what you remember from Pope John the 23rd.
Well, he was certainly a turning point in a Stone Age religion. I recommend very highly a book entitled The American Pope. And it was a story of Francis Cardinal Spellman. He was the Archbishop of New York, and he was an excellent example of that Stone Age church that I was brought up in. It was a church that was all threats, fear, ever disagree with anything the church said, and you expect an eternity of torture, hell, and flames taking your flesh away. Forever and ever. That's the church that I had known. I had also been accidentally exposed to the thinking of Bertrand Russell. And there I was in the seminary when Pius XII died, and they couldn't decide to agree on who to succeed him. And that's when a compromise came up with Giuseppe Roncalli of Turkey. That would be John the 23rd. And from day one, that man set out. He said, I have just inherited one very sick religion, and I am an old man. We're going to have to move fast if we're going to change it. I cleaned it up.
And he did move quite fast, particularly by Catholic standards. He was only there four and a half years and didn't have, I guess, that much time. But he radically changed. A lot of things, and I want you to talk about really the backlash to John the 23rd, because I, for one, frankly, never thought we'd see a pope like Francis in my lifetime. I had read about John the 23rd, and I thought, well, but they've all gotten very conservative since then. And then, of course, Benedict, to me, was one of the worst, very conservative German Catholic, someone who was the keeper of the theology. He was the enforcer of the doctrine, of the very conservative doctrine. And once he was chosen as pope, I really feared for the church. And then, lo and behold, his resignation and the ordination of a man like Pope Francis, who truly seems extraordinary, particularly by Catholic standards. So tell us about the backlash for Pope John the 23rd.
Incidentally, I believe Benedict is still around, in effect.
Yes, he is. He's still alive, but he resigned from the papacy.
A retired pope and the current pope. Well, John the 23rd insisted upon having this Vatican II, and he would become the first pope to what they call speak ex cathedra. This is now the official word. If you call yourself a Catholic, this you must accept. So all the bishops and cardinals were there, and they did the holy oils and waters and incense, and now he was to speak, and what he would say, every Catholic had to accept it. And if you recall what he said, wherein your conscience may take you to differ with your church, any church, including the Holy Roman Catholic Church, it shall not only be your right, it shall be your obligation to go with your own thinking and not the teachings of your church. Well, a lot of the old bishops turned purple and white and were falling over themselves saying, what did that man just do?
But and that is extraordinary. It's extraordinary
because
this is a church that basically...
It took a primitive church out of the Stone Age and brought it into the avant-garde. He was telling me in the seminary, you have an obligation to think for yourself and go with your own thinking. And that's when I walked out of the church during its finest hour. I had made the decision I could no longer be a part of what it had been up to that moment. But it was kind of strange that I was leaving it just as Pope John the 23rd was going to try to turn it into something credible. But so much had been so wrong for so long. And Archbishop Spellman, flying back from that selection of John, said to his other cardinals and bishops, not a word of that damn fool will ever reach North America. He was going to block out anything that John the 23rd had to say. He was Pius XII's deputy. And he did. A lot of what John the 23rd was all about never reached us here on this continent. It just didn't get here.
Interesting. Now, of course, John 23rd became Pope when he was about 77, 78 years old. That's actually the current age of Pope Francis. At the time, that was considered quite elderly back in the 1950s, and he was not expected to live very long. In fact, they expected him to be sort of a caretaker Pope, someone to sort of take over until the popes could agree on somebody. And then he did this extraordinary thing, Vatican II. Of course, today we live a lot longer. Certainly those with good medical care live a good deal longer. And I suspect Pope Francis, who seems quite spry, and I wish him a long life. It'll be fascinating to see how much he can change during his papacy, because after John the 23rd took the church so far, many, many Catholic priests and bishops and cardinals took it back to where it was. Maybe not all the way back, but a good deal backwards. And it's just fascinating to see this backlash. Did you see, Dave, a backlash where people actually said the Pope could be wrong during Pope John the 23rd's reign? Because that's what we're seeing now, and by Catholic doctrine, it's extraordinary to suggest the Pope could be wrong.
Yes, a radical change. I believe it would have been his first successor, John the 23rd. John Paul the First, who was the next in line? But that Pope was going to be even more pragmatic, liberal, carrying on the work of Pope John. And the old archbishops and bishops and cardinals that were there were not going to have it. So 1 month into his papacy, he was sent to bed with a cup of tea, never to rise again. They literally poisoned the man, I'm convinced.
Well, I don't know whether that's true or not, but there have been conspiracy theories for 50 years. And it was interesting to me to hear this liberal pope speak specifically, not liberal pope, excuse me, liberal bishop, Thomas Radcliffe of England, speak specifically of the days, excuse me, Timothy Radcliffe, just get his name right, speak about the days when they were poisoning each other's chalices. Clearly, there's a lot of animosity among the conservatives, and I don't want to get all conspiratorial, but I do hope the Pope has good, has very strong protection, because there are a lot of conservatives who do not want to see these changes in the Catholic Church. Stick on with me if you want, Dave. I want to encourage others to join in as well, this discussion. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. If you don't like what Francis is doing, Pope Francis, please let me know if you do like it. If you're Catholic particularly, I want to encourage you to call in, but you don't have to be. What do you think? Is this is going to be as great a change to the Catholic Church as Pope John the 23rd is what happened in Vatican II? I think it's likely to be. That's my prediction. What's yours? We'll be right back with your calls right after this. Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about the Catholic Church, specifically about Pope Francis, who I am praising, and I am not one to often praise the Catholic Church or its popes, but it does appear that he is taking the Catholic Church into a new, more liberal future. He's talking about respecting gay people, about granting pardon to women who've had an abortion, about allowing even communion, at least some of his popes and some of his bishops and cardinals, he hasn't stopped them, have even talked about giving communion to someone who's been divorced and remarried, not annulled, as the Catholic Church tradition is, but he wants to make it easier to get an annulment. And he said, this is a direct quote, "Let no one say this you cannot say." He's opened up free speech within the Catholic Church. There's been a huge conservative backlash. The conservatives have called the church under Pope Francis, quote, a ship without a rudder, unquote. But it strikes me the problem with the conservatives is not that this church has no rudder. The problem is that the rudder is moving the church right into modernity, and that the conservatives really don't like which way the ship is heading. It's not that the ship has no rudder. It's that they want it, the ship firmly stuck in the past. If you want to call in and chat about this, it's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Longtime listener Dave from Humboldt County. I've just learned for the first time, he's called in for more than a decade now, and I've learned for the first time that he was once in a seminary. Didn't realize that, but he has a lot of good insight into all of this. Welcome back, Dave. Dave, are you there? Dave, sorry, I thought I heard you in the background, but I couldn't hear you talk. When you get back, please continue to talk with us. Again, this is Mark Levine, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. I'm curious to see whether there's going to be some kind of open war in the Catholic Church, and I don't think there will be. I really hope there isn't. Back when Vatican II happened, there were some renegade bishops, renegade members of the church who actually continued to teach in Latin, continued to do things the old way that used to be done under the Catholic Church, and there was a bit of a schism for a little bit of a while. Didn't last too long, and the vast majority of the Catholic Church accepted Pope John the 23rd. In fact, there were just about three or four that were just unexcommunicated recently. I'm curious to see if this happens again. I have to say, though, I really hope it doesn't. What Pope Francis is doing is he, in fact, is recognizing that there it is a new world out there. It's a world of a Catholic Church far beyond Italy. The vast majority, in fact, of Catholics worldwide live in the undeveloped world, live in the third world, live outside of Europe, much less Italy. It's a church where you've got a lot of people who've had divorces, a lot of people who've had abortions, and, yes, gay people who are treated with respect increasingly. Apparently Dave is back, and his line sounds much better. Dave, welcome back to the show.
Well, Bertrand Russell at that same time was letting me know that I lived in a time when there was 6,000 recognized religions that believed that theirs was the one right true religion. And, of course, the Catholics and the Muslims and Seventh-day Adventists, so many. They were all. But he was making me aware that we have an obligation to think for ourselves. And that's what John the 23rd was also saying. I hope you will too, Mark, because I think whatever you've been brought up to believe, you better rethink it and question, is this for sure the truth that everybody else thinks theirs is the truth, is mine? How do I know for sure? I think we have an obligation to do that, to think for ourselves and arrive at a logical conclusion.
Because we were always taught to question, in fact, and maybe it's my particular Jewish tradition, but we were taught Israel means struggles with God, like Jacob struggled with the angel, and that we were supposed to struggle with God. We shouldn't just accept blindly whatever we learned, but talk back, figure out, make sure it's logical, make sure it makes sense, and that engagement with teaching, with God, in fact, is indeed what my religion's all about, and I'm really proud to see that Pope Francis, like Pope John the 23rd, is going in that direction. Thank you for your call, Dave. I need to move on and talk to another caller, but I really appreciate your chatting with me today. Let's go to Carol in Wisconsin on line two. Hey, Carol, how are you?
Hi, Mark. I'm a former Catholic, and I think our current Pope Francis realizes that the Catholic Church must change or die, because the Catholics, as well as fundamentalist Christians throughout history, have been a very prejudiced people. When you have a theology of victimization, then you most definitely create victimizers. So first we hated the Jews based on the Bible. Then during the Crusades we hated the Muslims. Then during the 14th century we hated the heretics. Later, we hated people of color, so we enslaved them, and that's also in the Bible, slavery. In fact, some popes had slaves. And then we hated women, so we diminished them, and that's also in the Bible. And then we hated the homosexual, so we persecute them. So, I mean, Jesus didn't take the Bible literally. He took it seriously. You know, we shouldn't take it any literally any more than we should.
So
I think this Pope is realizing that it's a living document. Things are going to have to change. I mean, Jesus' purpose was to give love abundantly.
I'm curious to know if the Pope is one. It sounds like he may be surprising you. He's surprising me. I admit it. I never thought.
Oh, he's surprising me tremendously.
And whether he might actually encourage a person like you, who used to be Catholic and is no longer Catholic, to maybe consider returning to your home church.
Well, it would take some major changes. Women would have to become priests. I mean, there'd have to be major changes in the church. I have recently become more of a progressive Christian, I consider myself, where it's a more all-encompassing of people.
I don't know that that's the question for this Pope. I mean, obviously, you can't change everything in a day. But this is a Pope who encourages everyone to discuss things. And when someone raised the question of women priests, he didn't immediately shut them down. I mean, he basically said, not now or not yet or not at this moment. But he didn't say, that's ridiculous, that's out of the question, that's, you know, you're a heretic or anything like that. I wouldn't be surprised if this Pope lives a long life, if 10 years from now, he's able to appoint a lot of cardinals who agree with him in this respect, if women priests couldn't happen. I mean, after all, you've got Mary Magdalene, you've got a history in the church of having very well-respected women leaders, and certainly the women, in most Catholic churches I go to, there seem to be more women than men. They're the ones who are keeping the church going. I would think this Pope might well recognize that, and I don't know that it's out of the question. What do you think?
And also open the doors to homosexuals.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's lots of changes that could still be made, but it's nice that he's opening the conversation because that's the first step.
I'm curious, in the Catholicism of your youth, could you challenge authority? Could you say to the priest, I disagree with you?
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, when I was a child, you know, we couldn't be altar girls. I mean, that's how old I am. So I don't know if I would live long enough to see the Catholic Church totally reform its ways, but no, there was no talking back. Absolutely not.
When did you leave the church, and did it upset your family?
Yes, it upset my family. They still are. They go to the Catholic Church, and unfortunately, some of these, like hatred towards homosexuals and transgender people, are being passed down to my nieces and nephews. Based on Catholic teachings.
Given what Pope Francis is saying,
excuse me?
Do you think that he could be changing the views of your family members?
Yes, I think definitely, because they're so strictly Catholic that I think they would definitely consider it.
I mean, that's extraordinary. There's a billion Catholics on Earth. If the Pope suggests that it may be okay, or at least not an unpardonable sin, to be divorced or to be gay or to have had an abortion, that these are things that may not be the preferred state of Catholicism, but at the same time are not to be radically condemned, and you're not to be excommunicated from the Church, that could change really a billion people's thinking, or maybe half a billion, on these very strong issues. That's why I'm very impressed with him, and I'm frankly surprised to see how far he's gone.
Oh, I am too. I remain very hopeful.
In fact, the backlash actually heartens me more, because if he weren't doing really significant change, there probably would be no backlash whatsoever. So I say, let them have a backlash, and let the best ideas win, and may this Pope live a very long life. Thank you for your call, Carol. I appreciate that. Folks, if you want to find out more about the Inside Scoop, just go to my website, marklevinetalk.com. We deal with all kinds of issues, from religion to politics to whatever's on your mind. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, just go to @MarkLevineTalk, MarkLevineTalk. This is Mark Levine, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.